Hello, everyone. Jim Coyle from Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our content. We hope you enjoy it. Make sure you're a subscriber at either your favorite podcast download or on our YouTube channel at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Either way, just give us a like on any of those. We would greatly appreciate it. It helps us immensely. Thank you and have a great day.
To Indiana Sports Beat Radio, brought to you by the Hard Truth Distilling Company in Brown County, Indiana.
So for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world, it's time!
Three on the way. Oh! Elian! Elian! And Indiana wins the ball game!
Know your role and shut your mouth!
Game for the win. Ailer's gone. Goodbye. Touchdown, Indy. Woo! IU. America. They got a football team now.
It's pretty simple. I win. Google me.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop.
Oh. Now, from the Hard Truth Studios, here's Jim Coyle.
Hey, sports fans, how are you doing? Welcome aboard. Another Monday, another edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Jim Coyle with you as always. Thank you so much for joining us, no matter where or how you're listening, on one of our great radio station affiliates in Fort Wayne on Fort Wayne Sports Station 1380. The Fan, you've got it in the right place. Keep it locked there all day long. If you're following on social media, you know the routine. The same with Greg Rakestraw in ISC Sports, who joins us now. Greg, how are you, sir?
Good morning, my friend. How are you?
I am doing fine. Just a beautiful day out there, man. It's just stunning looking. So, unfortunately, I know that I will be here working all day. But other than that, if I was any better, I'd be Greg Rakestraw.
I can equal that comment from yesterday. So, we had a beautiful day here yesterday, beautiful day all throughout the Midwest. I am calling college tennis for ESPN Plus. It's the one day a year I actually get to commentate on the sport, you know, that I played in college as a Division II tennis player at the University of Indianapolis. And yes, I am in a studio in Indianapolis. I am watching a 60-degree day unfurl in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And I'm like, well, can't have everything. You get paid to sit on your butt and talk about a sport that you know like the back of your hand, but you're wasting a beautiful sunshiny day outside of you. But then again, I'm paid to talk about sports for a living. Life's pretty good.
Not bad. Speaking of Mr. Basketball, not a shocker at all. Braylon Mullins, Mr. Basketball from Greenfield Central, of course. His path was made a little easier with some of the other guys leaving, but nonetheless, it's not like he wasn't very deserving. We all kind of thought this before even the departures was a great possibility, but he led his team and did a great job and has had just a superior career.
Yes, he has. And I figured that would come up. You know, obviously he and Trent Sisley played AAU basketball together. We're together on the Indiana Junior All-Stars this past summer before Trent made the decision to go down to Montverde. I think Braylon would have been rated ahead of him. The Jalen Harrelson conversation may be a little bit different just because how much attention Jalen got as a freshman and sophomore. From a recruiting standpoint, I would say they ended up, you know, pretty equal. Obviously, from McDonald's All-American standpoint, ended up, you know, pretty equal on that front too. What I would say is this, the numbers would have been bigger for Braylon than they would have been for Jalen in terms of just points, rebounds, assists, steals, et cetera, just because of the remarkable talent Jalen would have had around him. Now, you get to the discussion of, all right, you know, now you get to the discussion of, and this was the only criticism and just kind of the way the things played out. I think those of us that were close to the situation knew, you know, this was Braylon Mullins' award, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But he is a Mr. Basketball that never won a sectional. And for those that wonder, how often does that happen? Well, recently it's happened actually a decent amount of times. This is the fourth time since 2012 that's been the case. Gary Harris, Zach Ervin, and Kyle Guy are also members of that club that were Mr. Basketball winners that couldn't get out of their sectional. And what is the common denominator of all of that? 4A Indianapolis sectionals. In other words, you can be on a really good team and be an outstanding player, but yet because virtually everybody you play in one of those sectionals has Division I talent, at least the ones that are really good, it's not a guarantee that you're getting out of your sectional in this era when you're one of the best players in the state from the Indianapolis area. So, again, Braylon Mullins is absolutely a deserving winner. Had Jalen Harrelson stayed, and if it had been him, he would have been a deserving winner too. Frankly, if Sisley had stayed, and he would have won. He's a heck of a kid and a heck of a player as well. I put him just a tick below those other two guys in terms of talent.
And it's just, it's great to see this kind of talent coming out of Indiana, though, with Braylon, with Trent, with Jalen, and among, there are others as well. I don't want to shortchange Mark Zachary and guys like that. But yeah, what a, another good year for talent in the state of Indiana. It just goes to show you. And hopefully that continues as always. And
yeah, kind of Jim,
go ahead.
Yeah, kind of Jim, to your point. You know, there are, you know, I think Braylon Mullins will get an NBA look at some point in time. I think Jalen Harrelson will get an NBA look at some point in time. I think guys like Mark Zachary, who's going to be on the All-Star team, and John Anthony Hall, who I think had he not been likely competing in the track and field state finals, would have also been on the Indiana All-Star team. Those two kids are going to play in the National Football League, you know, 3, 4, 5 years down the road. You know, we can kind of pay off a similar script with the NFL draft on Saturday, because Jack Kaiser, who won Mr. Football, gulp, 7 years ago, you know, he was a fourth round pick of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And a lot was made back in the fall of 18 about Jack Kaiser winning that award over David Bell. And I tried to tell people, guys, the much bigger deal is that George Karloftis wasn't a finalist, and they have now changed how they do that award because of that. And of course, George can console himself by looking at each hand that has a Super Bowl ring on it, because he's got one for both. But those three guys that we talked about back then, Jim, Karloftis, Bell, and Kaiser, all now, as I told people 6 years ago, would be Sunday players. And that is the case for all of them. And I think in this year's senior class, we have a couple of NBA guys and, frankly, a couple of NFL guys that are playing on that. Are playing or were considered to play for the Indiana All-Star team.
Which is remarkable, just in and of itself, because we're talking about elite level talent here. When you're talking about any professional league, NFL, NBA, it's elite, elite, elite. It's the yes. Elite of the elite. And so to reach that, man, it's special. And to, I just tell people, I like to go out and see games when you have the chance, because when you have these special athletes, you may not get a chance to see them again because they may be gone to eventually an NBA team that doesn't come near you or whatever the case may be. But this, see them now. See them when you can say, man, I saw that dude when he was a junior in high school. But I love
seeing it. It costs you a lot less money to see him as a high school athlete too. You know, $6 or $7, a little cheaper than what you'd pay to see him at the major college level, the NBA level as well.
You can actually say hi to him also. Let's see, the All-Star game, the All-Star team is set as well. That, you know, happened a few weeks ago. We didn't get a chance to talk a lot about that, but that will be coming up in June with the games, which I know it seems like a long way away, but the month of May is going to be so freaking fast. It's going to be, the month of May is basically run on the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, but that's just because this is Derby week. It's also the month right. of my daughter's college graduation, her birthday. We've got the Hubers event down in Southern Indiana. You've got the some little race called the Indianapolis 500 that goes on. All that stuff going on in May. What a busy month that is coming up.
Yeah, this is event month. You know, no doubt about that. And so things will be hopping for sure. And as I tell people, you know, this week for me is not too crazy. By the time I get to next Wednesday, I'm like, I'll see you after Memorial Day. I've got about 3 weeks where, you know, I represented a conference championship yesterday. I'm lucky enough I get to do more of those. I get to do softball and baseball for the Horizon League and ESPN Plus. I'm on the PA staff at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I've got 6 days worth of work there. And I've got 4 days of radio, Grand Prix, Quals Weekend, and race day in and around the Indianapolis 500. So I'm in the same boat as you. Only difference is my month is busier on the back end. If you're from Southern Indiana or Louisville, your month is busier on the front end. That's for sure.
And the funny thing is, I was trying to explain this the other day. Someone asked me about, oh man, you must be glad the season's over. And I went, I wish it wasn't. It was a hell of a lot less busy when the season was going on than it is right now, because there is everything that happens at once. Now with the basketball portal, the football portal, and all the things that we're talking about right now, on top of that, it's crazy. It has become a crazy time. Pacers doing well in the playoffs, just had the NFL draft. It's like, no, it gets crazier than you know what when the season ends.
April is a sneaky good sports month. You know, a lot of conversation is about, say, October or November, because you have playoff baseball, NFL regular season football, and the puck drops on hockey, the NBA season tips off. Well, flip that. NBA and NHL playoffs in April. Baseball's underway in April. And unless you're like a White Sox or a Rockies fan, nobody's team is eliminated yet, you know, by the time you get to the month of April.
Rick Bozich would like a word with you.
He could look at the standings. It's okay. You have the Final Four at the beginning of the month, and because you've got the NFL draft, April's a really good sports month of the year, too.
Yeah, let's see. Indiana had a couple players get drafted in the draft, and I think they had six players sign as unrestricted free agents. Purdue, I've not seen a report on those guys yet, but a lot going on there as well. So a lot of guys that from the area that not playing in the NFL, so that's good. But hopefully there'll be a lot more of that coming up. What is coming up next for you now?
Little baseball and softball this week from a high school perspective. Indy 11 soccer coming up on Saturday night. But again, for me, this is where I get kind of one more week of chill, and then it is off the races with all things Indianapolis Motor Speedway and all things conference championships on ESPN+. And you referenced the Indiana All-Star Series. I'll have 4 of the 5 days worth of basketball, because it's now 5 doubleheaders in 7 days. So the Indiana Juniors versus the Kentucky Juniors at Charlestown High School Sunday, June 1st. The Futures game for the best freshmen and sophomores on June 2nd at Fishers. The Junior-Senior game at Greenfield Central on June 4th. The games in Kentucky, the ones that I don't get to do anymore, that is at Lexington Catholic High School, Friday, June 6th. And then we'll cap it off at Gainbridge Fieldhouse, girls and boys doubleheader, and I get to have that fun starting at 5 o'clock on Saturday, June 7th.
You know, that's sounds like a typical Greg Stroll schedule.
I guess I got 3 pairing shows this week too for the IHSAA, so I guess I've got that to look forward to as well.
What's a few shows here or there?
Exactly.
Greg Rakestraw from the ISC Sports Network. Make sure you're giving him a follow and keeping up with all that they have going on. It is a plentiful. Appreciate you, my friend.
Thanks, buddy.
You betcha. More coming up on Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios on this Monday. Dustin DePurek, the Indy Stars beat writer for the Indiana Pacers, who has graciously joined us a little earlier because he has been working his butt off, baby. Or I should have said he's worked his buttoft.
Okay.
That's one of my... Surely you've seen the oh man.
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh my god. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Okay.
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? There's that's a movie I should watch. In the front end. Oh my god, are you kidding me? It's great. But there's a scene there. I'm gonna RUNNOFT. Some little kid. he's you'll have to watch it, but
fair.
It's a funny one. But Dustin, he's been working all night, and I get it. Appreciate you, my friend.
No problem. No, thanks.
He's going on zero sleep.
Yeah, I'm a little bit on fumes right now. So thanks for moving things along or moving me up.
Oh no, thank you. But it's the same that happens with a Kristen Airy a lot. He's like, oh, just I'm on a plane or we just got back in. I'm like, all right, don't worry. Always, man. And we appreciate you. Things going very well for the Pacers. Game four, I thought was going to be a lot more of a test, and it would have been, let's be honest, if Damian Lillard does not go down in the first quarter with what looked like it could be, I hate saying the word Achilles, because that's the death nail to an athlete. It's just like, boom, it's over for a year.
Sure. No, I mean, I don't think anyone really has a lot of illusions. I mean, everybody was pretty, I wasn't in for any of it. Obviously, I was just, doing the Pacers press conferences and whatnot. But I know our Jim Ozarski with the Journal Sentinel, obviously, our Gannett brethren up in Milwaukee, said that basically Doc Rivers came in and said, it doesn't look good. Basically, it's not promising. I saw Dame leave, just walking through the hall, not walking, crutching through the hallway, if you will. Two crutches and a walking boot on the left foot. You see the video, it's reminiscent, I think, of the Kevin Durant Achilles rupture in the 2019 NBA Finals. Very similar video. So, I mean, they obviously can't do an MRI, I don't think, until today. I couldn't do it last night. Obviously, got to wait until 1. Somebody's there to do it. Swelling goes down, all those kinds of things. Generally, obviously can't do that in a locker room after a game, so you can't really confirm it. But all of the signs seem to be pointing in that direction, and nobody seems to have a whole lot of reason for optimism to think that it's anything but that. Certainly, again, we'll see when, actual doctors, actual MRIs get to look at it, but none of the signs point in any good directions. And so obviously that's the sort of injury that just takes it out of a team. He went down and he kind of like grimaces a little and he just knows, he doesn't get up and he's just like,
had that injury, but no. I can guarantee you if it happened, I would know instantly because you know exactly where that you're like, there's nothing else there.
Right. What's fascinating is you hear kind of the same stories, and it's almost like this weird mystery is that and anyone who's had one says it feels like you got hit in the back of the leg by an object that came from behind. And then you look back and there's nothing there. And that's that's the time when you freak out I talked to a doctor because the Pacers had two centers, James Wiseman and Isaiah Jackson, at the beginning of the year that had Achilles tendon tears. And they're, sometimes when this happens, basically like some, universities will market their doctors and say, hey, if anyone wants to talk to these guys about what this means, they obviously haven't looked at them, but they're willing to talk about how an Achilles tendon tear works or something like that. And I talked to one one is a doctor who works in these things and two and had one. And he said that was exactly how he felt. He felt like someone took a baseball bat to the back of his leg. That's the feeling. And he said, I even noticed with the two guys that happened with the Pacers, they looked back as though they had been hit and realized they weren't. And they knew instantly that that's what it was. And so Dame had that look. I didn't see him look back. But he was just down in a way that just said, I know, I don't have any illusions either.
Non-contact injury, man. Anytime you have a non-contact injury, it is usually not good.
Yeah, generally bad. It was odd, I think, kind of in the narrative sense that you saw several injuries you've seen several injuries really in these playoffs where you've seen somebody go down and you think, for a moment, this is going to be a real problem. And then they get back up and, they go to the locker room for a little bit and they come out and they look great. And it hasn't been the case for everybody. John Morant comes down hard and it looked like he got broken in half. And obviously he doesn't return, but I mean, Jalen Brunson on Sunday, looked like he dinged up the same ankle that he had problems with at the end of the year. He comes back and has just a phenomenal close to that game. And the Knicks win, game four over the Pistons. That was fantastic. But, and Anthony Edwards went down for a little bit, looked like he was grabbing his knee, thought that might be a thing. You've seen some other injuries like that. But in this case, Lillard was down and he knew he was down and knew that was pretty much the end of it. And you saw just the life go out of the Bucks, really. I mean, they fought for a while, but Pacers just always seemed to have a better sense. I mean, they really did a good job of responding to all the problems they had in game three, really good ball movement, better defense. Miles Turner and Tyrese Halliburton both had shaky game threes, really good game fours. Aaron Nesmith played terrific, had just a massive block at the end of the third quarter that really kind of stopped this, you know, a bit of a Bucks run from getting any better. And, you know, that was a pretty big time play. So just everything kind of went wrong for Milwaukee and right for the Pacers, and they're up 3-1 with a chance to clinch on Tuesday.
Well, and a lot going on, so because of who they might play in the future. But now being up 3-1, human nature would say, okay, we can relax a little bit. That's where you get in trouble, except for the fact that they don't have Damian Lillard, and it would take a Herculean effort for Milwaukee to upset.
Which is nice because Hercules plays for them. So, you know, like if they were going to need one,
perfect.
Yeah, it's right there. He teed me up for that one. But yes, the Greek god of whatever Giannis is, the Greek
god.
Does
he play shirtless, and does he have the flowing hair with the wind blowing through it when he's playing?
Maybe he doesn't have long hair, but I mean, he should. I mean, I can't, like, you know, like, he's got as many muscles as Hercules. So, I mean, if he played with the shirt off, you know, like, I mean, he probably wouldn't look a whole lot different.
Well, the Pacers took advantage of the unfortunate mishap with Damian Lillard. They go on, they post a solid win. And that has to take a lot of the wind out of the sails, the injury, sure, the loss at home, all of that. Are they back in Indianapolis now for
the year? They are. Yeah,
because so it's
2-2-1-1 in NBA. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At home.
Right. The Pacers have everything going for them, obviously. Just the fact that, game five is a tough closeout if you're on the road. I mean, the Pacers were up 3-1 in this same series last year, and then they had to go to Milwaukee because the Bucks had home court, and they went to Milwaukee, and Milwaukee, you know, the Bucks were just basically unbeatable there in game five. Pacers were able to clinch it when they came back home for game six. In this case, they're going home for game five. So, no, it's tough. I mean, again, but the biggest difference, the one thing that gives you hope if you're Milwaukee is you have one of the best three players in the world. And there are some ways in which he is the best player in the world. You know, there are things that he has that, you know, you obviously – he's going to finish third to Joker and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in the MVP voting. But there are things he can do that neither one of them can do. He is the most dominant physical force in the NBA. Shai is just a terrific player, just capable of just giving you 30 every single night and just always just doing the right thing as a basketball player. And Joker is just a magician. But Giannis is a physical force that you can't stop. I mean, he just comes through you like a freight train. And it's just a remarkable genetic collection of whatever it is he is.
He is a beautiful athlete to watch. I have to say he is remarkable.
He's incredible. You're just in awe sometimes. I mean, there's some things that he does that you cannot defend. Rick Carlisle called him impossible. And that's the best way to describe it. I mean, there was one spin move he had against Aaron Nesmith in these playoffs that he just turned around him and like it basically like his kind of spin move, like in the lane, is like he covered the same distance side to side as you and I would if we jumped. And like that's how much kind of space he takes up and just how well he can just turn and get to the rim. And he's just incredible. And so it's just like you just try to make his life as hard as you can and know that making his life as hard as you can means he still gets 25, you know, or still gets, 28, 15, and 6. I mean, they put as many bodies on him as he could. And he still puts up a stat line that's utterly incredible.
It's kind of like watching one of those high school games where one team just has a superstar and the other
team
got
an NBA player
on him.
Right.
And he still doesn't.
They've got an NBA player and the other team doesn't. And you just hold on for dear life and hope that whatever he gets isn't enough to beat you. And that's really where it is. And so, you know, that means, you know, like he could, and with Dame out, I mean, I think that actually was an adjustment for the Bucks, because he'd been playing point guard with Lillard out because Lillard was out with the deep vein thrombosis. And so it's in a way it's more deflating because he came back, you know, because he had to gut it out and really, you know, that's a life threatening condition. I mean, basically that's blood clots in your leg and, you know, they managed to get that fixed up. And he came back and played and then hurt the other leg. You know, it's not the same one. I mean, that would be legitimately terrifying if you tore an Achilles in the same leg where you had deep vein thrombosis. I don't even know what happens then. But, you know, that's not the case. It's the opposite leg. But, you know, but still, Giannis had been running the point guard. I mean, and this, they're not an undangerous team with Giannis running the point and doing everything, because he's just that dominant. So it is not over on the basis of Giannis. You know, there's, again, he is the NBA's Hercules. And if there's one person who can do this, it's him. So, you know, the Pacers have to know this. But again, they have pretty much.
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Surely you know that one.
What's that?
Surely you know that one.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I've seen Animal House enough times, and I'm also. It's always the best when somebody makes that joke on Twitter and nobody knows what they're talking about, and you're like, "It wasn't the Jersey." Oh Jesus!
That's like watching those kids. My favorite videos when they get a rotary phone and they hand it to some kids and they say, "Hey, dial this number or call this number. Call this number," and they just like. They pick up the receiver, they turn it over, put it back down. Yep. They'll punch it. It's funny stuff. So the Pacers get to come home with the opportunity to close out the first series at home, which is nice, but they'll celebrate. But this is early on, man. This is the first round. You got work to do. Not only that, but who they play is being determined on the
court. It'll probably be over tonight.
The Knicks.
The Bucks. No, the Cavs. The Cavs are up 3-0.
Are up 3-0. Yeah. I was going to talk about the Knicks, the Celtics.
It'll be Knicks Celtics if they close out. They're both up 3-1 in that series. But the Pacers are looking at Cleveland, and you know Cleveland looks great. I mean, obviously they're facing a Miami team that was the 10 seed coming in. Obviously they were
going to sweep them. So I mean that's not a shocker.
No.
But when you sweep somebody in any professional league, you're like, oh man, that team's on a roll.
Yeah, it's so they're coming in and they look good. You know, it's just basically like I think when you're in Cleveland's position and you're coming off this special of a season, basically. I mean, I think you come in thinking, you're a little bit concerned that a shoe is going to drop, because everything's just gone so well. And you're just a little worried, I think, last year, obviously they were a 4 seed, got beat, by Boston, when they were supposed to, basically in these, they met him in the Eastern Conference semifinals. The Pacers met him in the Eastern Conference finals. It was just a question of when were you getting Boston, last year. It was how far you were going to make it. Now they come in with real expectations and they have to come in believing that they can that they can get to Boston and beat them. If you're the Cavs, I mean, they had posted the second best record ever, and obviously, every other one in that list had LeBron James on it. And so, they're performing at an incredible level. I mean, there's one LeBron team that won more games. I think it was actually the one that didn't get to the finals. But still, that's what they're up against there. And a lot of pieces have come together for them. And so, you'd think maybe first round, when it's gone that well, you might have a game where, everything doesn't go well. But they haven't. They've just pretty much rolled through the heat. I mean, just absolutely blasted them yesterday afternoon. And all the pieces seem to be coming together because they've got depth. I think their top four are really good. Donovan Mitchell, probably been the third best player in the East this year behind Giannis and Tatum. He's been terrific. Evan Mobley has made a big time leap. I mean, he was, obviously certainly top recruit, top draft pick, 6'11 guy where it's all coming together. Defensive player of the year, great shot blocker, good, pick and roll switch guy, learning to shoot, is shooting the ball from outside now, can handle it on the outside and certainly is a problem around the rim. Jared Allen, just a really solid five man, Darius Garland had a really good season. Then you got all these shooters after them. DeAndre Hunter is a terrific wing coming off the bench. Ty Jerome made a big leap this year. Reminds you of that guy that won a national title in Virginia, and he's just been awesome. Made a really good case for didn't win it, made a good case for sixth man of the year. Got beat by Peyton Pritchard, but he's basically they've been terrific. I mean, just like all steel cylinders pumping for those guys. And so it's like, all right, that's a tough one. And obviously you got to start that one on the road. The home court advantage goes away when you're the four and you go into play the one. So if they're able to put this one away, it'll be an earlier start if they both, if if the Cavs win Monday and the Pacers win Tuesday, then you're looking at this thing starting this weekend as opposed to, you know, next week sometime. So they're going to get jump right into it. And, you know, again, Cleveland will be rolling. And Pacers will have to feel really good about themselves, but Cleveland looks terrific. You know, they are playing like a team that deserves to be in the NBA Finals. And so, you know, we'll see if that actually happens. And I think they know the Pacers can push them, which, you know, says something good about the Pacers. But on the flip side of that, is tough because, I mean, the Cavs know they're in for something. I mean, they had a weird season series, obviously, this year. The Pacers had a dramatic comeback against them in a game where Ty Halliburton went out at halftime with a groin injury. The Pacers had a massive comeback to win that game on the road, and they come back and lose at home. They played two games, though, in the final week where the Cavs didn't play their starters either game. So I think it ends up being a 2-2 split. Or no, actually, it was 3-1 Pacers win it. But, you know, you can't derive anything from that because those last two games basically didn't count.
Yeah, Brian's saying it best. Hey, congratulations, you beat Milwaukee. Here's your reward. You get to play one of the hottest teams in the NBA right now.
NBA playoffs, man. When you're one of the last teams left, there ain't no, you know, there ain't no easy roads. Right.
Ask Detroit about that. They have a bone to pick with the NBA. They're playing the Knicks right now. They were down 2-1 in a game that seemingly they had a legitimate chance to win. As the last shot goes up, a foul is not called. I love this. After the game, the official said, "Hey, we screwed that up. They should have called a foul."
Yeah,
that could have won the game for Detroit and tied that series at 2-2. Now they're down 3-1. Changes everything.
Sure.
Well, I mean, what's the point of coming out and saying it now? Most people knew it at the time.
You have to say it. Well, because I mean,
I know, but I'm just being facetious because it seems like everybody on the planet. Why is it in a situation like that where everybody on the planet, something is pretty obvious?
If you don't blow the whistle, you can't review. I mean, there are some things you can review.
I thought that they – oh, that's right. I get it now. Just no, because nothing was called at all. Right. But how do you – even in that sense, how do you swallow the whistle? I know that in all sports, no one wants to see a foul or a penalty or determine the outcome of a game.
Right.
But at the same time, you don't want to see a foul that's a legitimate foul that's not called determine the outcome of the game.
Yeah, I mean, we had a debate about this in the locker room today, and, you know, like, it wasn't an on-the-record debate, so I'm not going to say who said what.
Right.
But, you know, there was the you know, I guess the question, because it's certainly it's basically just like, OK, like, it is a situational deal and comes back to that theory of, you know, some people are on the side of you call the game the exact same way at every point in the game. And some people are of the idea that, all right, but it's different in the last couple of minutes. You don't want to determine the outcome. You want the players to determine the outcome. And obviously, you know, like the case to not call it is Tim Hardaway is looking for a foul there. You know, like he knows he's in trouble. He gets the ball in the corner. There's like no time left. Josh Hart's coming in his direction. Like he's trying to get contact from Josh Hart more than he was trying to make that shot. He's trying to get a foul, you know, like, I mean, the way Hart, and so that's the best case to not call it, but there's enough contact and there are times early in the game where you've given somebody a foul for that. I mean, but you know, at least in one case, the Pistons got a foul for that, got the bonus of like Dennis Schrader got Miles McBride to jump. And then he leaned into that and got some contact and, you know, got to the line for that. And you get rewarded. I mean, like guys, you know, Luka Doncic does that all the time. Jalen Brunson does it plenty. You know, if you can get somebody off their feet, you know, just lean into them in such a way that you make bodily contact. You know, they're not in legal guarding position, so you can get a foul there. So, you know, like that, the case that I heard made that's why you don't call it is that. And so now there are a lot of people that were in the same debate that were saying like, no. And like also too, certain members of the Pacers were just like, you think if we did that, they wouldn't call it? You think if that was us, they don't call that foul? I think they call it if it was us. You know, I think it's different when you've got New York across your jersey and a monster giant media market that will be watching all of your games as long as you're playing, and stuff like that. And so there's, that's the entirety of NBA conspiracy theories, is that everything is being done to prop up the big markets, which I have no idea is true or not, but that's certainly widely held belief, in the league and among people outside the league and watching the league and all that kind of stuff. So it's tough. This doesn't matter at all, because I say this all the time. I'm the worst press box official in this or any league. But I didn't think it was a foul on first glance. Then you see the replay and it's obvious that it was a foul. You know, there's clearly enough contact there to justify a foul. And obviously, again, if the official said, yeah, yep, should have called that one. You can't really argue against that at that point. But, you know, I guess I get it not blowing the whistle live. There was a late regular season game this year where Russell Westbrook got called for, kind of sticking his hand in somebody's chest, and that was a three-shot foul, and that determined the game. But that's a regular season game. You know, saw something, again, it was very similar. It's pretty obvious because, he's got an outstretched hand into a guy's chest, and that looks a little bit worse. The Knicks absolutely benefited, but that was a pretty wild game, and there was a lot of stuff not being called, stuff being called. That was a very, very physical game. It got really grimy, very, very 90s type of grimy. Knicks Pistons kind of fits that. At the end of the day, the Pistons have a legit gripe for feeling like they got one stolen from them.
Yeah. And there's nothing they can do about it other than, win, baby, wins. That's all you can do now. Hey, let's take a quick break. The great Dustin DePerrick from the Indy Star, the Indiana Pacers beat writer for the Star, with us right now. Plenty to get to. We'll be back with more from the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios on this Monday. And it has been a long one for our good friend Dustin DePerrick from the Indy Star. Make sure you're giving him a follow as these playoffs are wearing. Well, the good thing is the Pacers go up 3-1 now, win this one a little early, give you a little rest.
A little bit. I'll be in Cleveland by the weekend.
I said a little bit, man. No. A little bit.
No, we'll have plenty to do. Plenty to do before that. Yeah.
And so Cleveland's not a bad place to be this time of year, if the long as it warms up. You don't want any lake effect wind coming off of there. But
there's
going to
be lake effect wind. Yeah.
I was trying to be positive, man.
Yeah, I don't hate Cleveland. I don't hate Cleveland at all. I mean, I'm supposed to hate Cleveland. I'm contractually obligated as a Pittsburgh native to hate Cleveland, but I don't. And it's not a bad road trip. I think Cleveland's one of those. The thing I root for as far as road trips are concerned is hotels within walking distance that are affordable. Cleveland has them, so that's nice. And so, that's helpful. And it's not a bad town, again, I just think it could be a really fun series. This Cavs team's fun to watch. I do think the Pacers are going to push them at least a little bit. I think it's going to be an interesting series. You're going to see if Cleveland is ready to make this leap, if they are, in fact.
Or are the Pacers ready to make the leap?
Yeah, no, exactly. And they'll both be in that case. Now, obviously, whoever wins is probably looking at Boston again. And Boston certainly not. They don't look as invincible as they did last year. And they've got some injury concerns. Drew Holiday's missed some time with a hamstring injury. Jaylen Brown has missed some time with a knee. He played in game 4 against the Magic. He played really well. But they are, they're missing some guys. Kristaps Porzingis has been a little bit dinged up, not quite the juggernaut they were, last season. So it'd be interesting to see, whoever comes out of there, do they have a real, how good is Boston, basically? I mean, to me, the juggernaut is Oklahoma City at the real end of the line, just basically out west. They look terrific to me. And it had a, kind of looked like they were going to stub their toe against Memphis for a little bit and then just turned it up another notch. I mean, you talked about, the Bucks kind of losing some steam with Damian Lillard. I mean, when John Morant went down, and that looked like it hurt a lot, Memphis really just fell apart. I mean, had a huge lead on the Thunder in game 3 and saw that just collapse and fall apart. But it is, you are just sort of seeing where everybody falls in the East. I mean, you know, you can't, I don't think you can entirely rule out either the Magic or the Pistons from making a comeback, but, you know, but looking at more likely scenario is the top four are the ones that make it, that it's Cavs, Pacers, and it's Knicks, Pistons, and Knicks, Celtics. And you get a good barometer on all four of them to get a good sense of where everybody is and where they stand. I mean, you obviously, you could have a Pacers, Knicks rematch. It's not out of the question. I don't think that's the way it's going to go down, but you could, you know, it's possible that that's who could end up, you know, and, you know, then everything's up for grabs, but you got, you know, you got four really good basketball teams in that case. The East looks great. The West has been just wild. And, you know, the West looks terrific. So, I mean, it just, you know, again, it's a lot really fun this time of year. And, you know, just how much these teams step up their games and just seeing wild, terrific stuff on both sides of the bracket.
Can you imagine if you had to cover the NBA and the Pacers and they had an open portal where players could just come and go throughout the NBA?
It's called free agency, but yeah, it's not the same.
No. Every stinking year, with the entire team.
No, nobody
enter free agency.
Nobody can. I mean, there have been years when free agency was particularly nuts that it might have felt like that. You know, basically, I think I don't know how long ago it was, but I mean, they actually had to change the cap because of this. That they will never raise the cap more than 10%, because there was one year where there was such a big raise in the cap that nobody wanted to sign contracts past this date because they knew it was coming. And so everybody kind of, you know, held off and said, okay, I want to see what I can get on the open market that year. And it was too nuts. And so, you know, like since then, since they've only been raising it 10% a year, you're seeing, you know, you've seen more teams, more players be willing to sign, you know, these 4 or 5 year extensions so that they're not in that position. Excuse me, I'm gonna go turn this alarm off.
No worries. Hey, and looking forward to the continued run of the Pacers, and hopefully that
will just continue.
Speaking of the transfer portal, Indiana basketball, they have been adding players, both football and basketball. But the basketball team obviously is what started out at ground zero. They continue. Man, oh, man, we've got a pretty good understanding of what kind of offense to expect in Bloomington next season under Darren DeVries, as he has brought in a ton of guards and wings, guys that are 1-2-3, you know, some of them could play the 1-2 and the 3, or others can play the 2-3 and the 4. A lot of I hate to use the word positionless basketball, but in essence, that's what you're going to see a lot more of: spacing, passing lanes, movement, shooting, motion offense. And boy, he's bringing the players in. Still needs a big or two, a mobile big or two. I know that they're looking at some guys, but the bigs right now are the offensive linemen of the portal. They're sure. That's who's the most valuable guys. And look at the NFL draft. You talk about Shedeur Sanders, all those guys falling. Let me tell you who didn't fall: the good offensive linemen or defensive linemen or those guys that don't get a lot of pub. Well, they may not get the pub, but they get the pay. And but it's the same with the bigs right now. They're kind of they're the ones that are at a premium, and probably kind of why it's taken Indiana a little longer to nail that guy or two who's going to be that.
Yeah, no, I mean, it comes back to, like, I remember I heard this when I was covering the CAA. They always made this point that, like, the lower leagues, it's tough to get bigs because there's just only so many. There's just only so many humans that are, like, 6'9 or taller, you know, at the end of the day. And for, you know, obviously there's always enough to populate the NBA. There's always enough to generally populate the biggest conferences. But there are only so many of those people, of those humans that are not only that big, but coordinated enough to do that. So there's only going to be so many much in any given class of high school kids or college kids or whatever it is. And so they're going to be at a premium. It's just not that normal for people to be that tall. And when you add something like the portal to this, of course, they're going to come at a premium, you know, and you need depth. You need multiple guys that are like that. And it's hard to get multiple guys that are like that. And so they know what their value is this, you know, It's the capitalism of the portal. And, you know, they know that it's like, hey, you guys all want me. I've got to take my time. I've got to see what's available. I got to make sure that I make the most of, you know, this opportunity. Because, I mean, for some of these guys, this is it. You know, there's not going to be an opportunity beyond, college basketball, make a whole lot of money. Even if there's an opportunity, a lot of them are going to play in Europe for, you know, something that's manageable, but not big time cash. And so it's like this is when you're probably at your most marketable that you're ever going to be. So you got to strike while the iron is hot and take the money that's there. So, you know, it makes sense to take your time. Whereas some of the guards, like you might, you know, the musical chairs is going, you got to sit on one so that they don't get taken away. You know, there's less opportunities and, you know, in that case, so you got to jump on whatever you can get. But yeah, I going back to your kind of initial point, I mean, I just, what we continue to talk about Mike Woodson was, it just doesn't seem like there's a kind of wholly, just a total system there. And for whatever kind of micro complaints you could make, I think the macro complaint was just, this is not a scenario where the recruiting kind of feeds into the system, that the style of play is there. And that kind of sets the tone for, these are the guys you go get. These are the jobs that you have to give these guys. And this is how you refill them, you know, and DeVries seems to have more of a sense of that, of this is what my jobs are. And, you know, again, that's the wing oriented, perimeter oriented, four out, one in, five out, you know, like center moving about and operating on the perimeter, but and posting up, you know, kind of it fits and starts, is, you know, the way the game is going, is to be more spaced out. And that's been invested in all the way up the line. There's a reason why they're teaching 7 foot guys to shoot threes now. It is what it is. And, you know, you have to be able to play that way and you have to be able to defend that way. If you're going to have, you know, all four, you know, your power forward is going to stay on the perimeter and is going to shoot threes, well, then you need your power forward to be able to go guard somebody on the perimeter and be able to kind of get out there and slide side to side and keep somebody from driving on him and making sure he's getting good contests on threes. So, you know, like those are the players you need. That's what's the premium. That's what the NBA stockpiles now, is that you're making sure you have a lot of wings that can play between two and four. And, you know, so that's what you're seeing from Darren DeVries. At the very least, there is consistency in terms of what he wants to do. I mean, I have no idea if these guys are good enough to execute at the level that you need to execute it to be a contender in the Big Ten. No clue at all, but at least there is a system. At least there is a plan. And that, I think, was the most important thing that this, whoever was going to get this job, had to prove, was that there was a plan.
A blueprint and a plan to get there. Exactly. JV Mack, as I'll call him, first time I've ever seen him comment on the hotline, says if Reed Bailey gets hurt, Indiana is going to be 6'8 at center right now. And that's what we're talking about. They're going to add somebody. But adding that Danny Wolf is like adding a unicorn, man. Sure. If you can land a Danny Wolf, you've landed a unicorn, because that's if you're a 6'10, 11, 7 foot, or 6'12, however you want to look at it. You're an NBA first round draft pick, bam, sure, automatically.
If you can do stuff, I mean, not just by being 7 foot, you got to be able to 7 foot and be able to do stuff.
Oh no, yeah, you know? I meant like, and
Danny Wolf is a 7 footer who can do stuff. Yeah,
Chet Holmgren. I remember watching him play in Portland in the NCAA tournament against Indiana a few years ago, and I was amazed because he was pretty thin, didn't have a lot of meat on his bones.
Remarkably,
but but he did not have the trouble in the paint that I thought that he would, with like getting pushed around. I'm like, damn, he must be stronger than he looks, because he did not get pushed around, and he was quite able then to go a step out on the perimeter and play. And so, man, those types of players, they're pricey. They're pricey, baby. But there's a reason they're pricey. You get what you pay for.
Yeah, no, I mean, those guys at that level, and obviously that's the – those are the freaks that we have seen changing the game. Obviously, you know, Victor Wembanyama, that's what he is. He's 7'4", can handle on the perimeter, make threes and block shots and all that. And Chet was kind of that before Wemby, but he's not at Wemby's level, but he's terrific. And obviously he's a big piece for a team that's won 68 games this year in the Thunder and looks like they can put it away. It was fascinating because Gonzaga didn't play the Pacers in Portland, or not the Pacers, didn't play IU in Portland, but they were there. And I remember Both he and Jalen Duren were there, Jalen Duren being the starting center for the Pistons now. And it was remarkable seeing the two of them because they were just dramatically different bodies. You know, Chet is just very tall and very skinny, and Jalen is like 7 foot and every muscle that you could have, and he has muscles in places that I didn't know you could build muscle. And they're both in the NBA and they're both starting, and you can get at it different ways, you know. And Duren doesn't shoot a whole lot of threes, just gets in there, blocks out, pushes people around. You know, is a good fit with Cade Cunningham and you know, all the shooters the Pistons have and all those pieces. But Chet comes in there and they're able to go to big dudes. You know, they're starting, you know, him and Isaiah Hartenstein together. So where you have this sort of 7-footer that's running out chasing just chasing rebounds and Hartenstein and Holmgren, who can kind of play inside outside, and they can both protect the rim, basically. And so it makes them very, very hard to score on. And the Thunder have a billion wings that can guard the heck out of you, and they have the MVP. And so it's just, you know, like, it's so it's remarkable stuff. And obviously, if you can find a guy like that in college, you're probably not going to have him very long. For one thing, you know, obviously Chet was one and done before, you know, it was an obvious one and done from the beginning. And Duren wasn't that very long, you know, they're very long either. And if you're that skilled and you're that big, you're going to move on pretty quickly. But, you know, sometimes it takes a little while. Obviously, it took at least a bit for Danny Wolf. I mean, Danny was just, apparently he's going to the Pacers in at least some couple mock drafts I saw. But yeah, no, I mean, and you're, like, it is okay to be smaller a little bit, at a touch smaller at the five than it used to be. If you are 6'9", 6'8", and you've got a lot of length, you can live with that. You know, it's more doable these days than it used to be, because they do kind of require you to have skill also. You know, and you know, some of these guys are just big, you know, like Kofi Coburn didn't get an NBA shot in 2005 or whatever. He'd have been a top five pick, you know, no doubt about it. Basically in the absolutely. Way that he played there, because he was just absolutely a 7 foot, 300 pound rock of muscle.
Just like Dustin DePerrick, baby. Exactly, that reminds me of Dustin.
Exactly. I know I look 7 foot here. It's very obvious, you know.
Hey, brother, I appreciate you. Go get you some rest.
Yeah, I will.
Killing it. We appreciate you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate you, Jim. Yeah, have a good one.
Dustin DePerrick from the Indy Star, the Indiana Pacers beat writer, joining us as he does each Monday as the Pacers are rolling on, as are we. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios on this Monday. Glad to have you along. Thank you so much for joining us. Just finished up with Dustin DePerrick and Greg Rakestraw before that. We're going to have a special guest today. Sure you've been waiting for that. The transfer from Drexel, Mr. Jason Drake, who will be bringing his basketball skills to Indiana, will join us in the next segment. So looking forward to that. Lots going on, too. It is Derby Week. Haven't been able to talk about that yet. We've had so much to get to today. But it is Derby Week for those living down in the southern Indiana area, of course, into Kentucky there. Whether you're, especially those you listen, if you're listening on 97.7 ESPN, the Rap, a lot of that bleeds over into Henderson, Kentucky, and down into that area. So a lot of Derby festivities going around, man. Derby parties are just a blast. And there are so many people that local people that have big Derby parties down there. And I haven't decided if I'm going to, we'll be down at the Derby actually on Thursday and Friday with the show. I shouldn't say at the Derby, at Churchill Downs for the Kentucky Derby. But Thursday is now known as Thurby. The deal is Friday is the Kentucky Oaks at Churchill Downs. Huge day. It is second only to the Derby day. But that wouldn't happen if they weren't together, obviously. But the Oaks is the big race for the Phillies. And then anybody can enter the Derby on Saturday. But the second biggest crowd that they get, of course, is for Oaks. But it used to be Thursday was known as the Locals Day, quote-unquote Locals Day. That's when the locals would go out because Churchill Downs kept raising prices and doing things that were money-oriented. And I'm not blaming them. I mean, you got to make hay when the sun shines. But and then it became known as Thurby. And it's become an entity unto itself. So you've got, and there's racing, you know, all week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, huge days out at Churchill Downs. You've got Indianapolis going on right now. Practice has started, all kinds of things happening up there. That goes on for the entire month before it culminates in the running of the Indianapolis 500. This is the 151st running of the Kentucky Derby. Was down there, was there last year for the 100th, and we've been there every year for a long, long time. But looking forward to that. Looking forward to the annual playing of the Kirk Haston, I don't even know what to call it, but when I first started doing the show back in, 2017, I don't remember what year this was from, but it had to be probably 2018, maybe. I'm going to guess it was 2018. Had Kirk Haston on the show. I did a show that was strictly Derby-oriented, but it was all IU people. Had Coach Bill Mallory on with us, but it was quick hits, a bunch of quick hits. And all they were supposed to do is give us their Derby pick, maybe why, and that was it. And then, boy, we'd move on. There was no interviews, anything like that. But it was like a ton of people. James Blackman, I can't even remember who all had in that line. But Kirk Haston was one of them. And Kirk is a unique dude. He's very smart. Obviously, he's a teacher down in Tennessee. He's a Tennessee representative, but also has a personality that most people don't know. And if you have not heard this that you'll hear on Friday, you'll get an understanding of his great personality as he gave us his pick for that year's Derby. And he actually gave us a call of the race on it, which it was just phenomenal because none of it was planned. I knew was coming, and it was incredible, incredible, funny, great live radio is what that was. But looking forward to that. So we'll be down there live, but we'll have a lot of our same guests. And then hopefully we can throw in some specialties that we don't even know, because once you get there and you're on the backside moving around, we'll see how that works out. Arkansas. Remember the Emaliava saga? And that was with Nico, the dude that left Tennessee to go to UCLA. Well, his brother, Madden, also left Arkansas to go to UCLA. Now, that's where he originally committed. But either way, Arkansas is now seeking the return of around $200,000 in NIL money because he left without playing. And I get it. That shouldn't even be a question. You should have to return the money. You haven't done anything. So we'll see how this works out, because it's either, if it goes to court, there will be a precedent set. But I think that there has to be rules set on this. I mean, it's common sense to me. Does common sense not work anymore for people? Hopefully so. I don't know what just happened there. But, hey, yeah, common sense, not the thing that seems to be ruling the roost anymore. But hopefully that continues. We'll see. We'll follow that and see how that continues to play out. CJ West, Curtis Rourke, both selected in the NFL draft and by the same team, no less, as the San Francisco 49ers pick up CJ in the third round and Curtis Rourke in the seventh round. So that'll be cool. He was the first Canadian to be taken in the NFL draft since Jesse Palmer in 2001. That's an amazing stat that I did not know was, I did not know that Jesse Palmer was from Canada. So you got that going for you, which is nice. Six other Indiana football players taken as undrafted free agents. Linebacker Jalen Walker signed with the Raiders. I think these are pretty good contracts, though. I think they're like $800,000 3-year deals. James Carpenter went to the Jags. The Jaguars, they're loading up. They're loading up. Miles Price, wide receiver to the Vikings. Wide receiver Keyshawn Williams to the Steelers. Zach Horton to the Lions, where I believe that Antoine Randall L. still is the receivers coach, I believe. And offensive lineman Trey Wedding. He went to the Raiders or the Ravens. I can't remember what I wrote down. How about this? The son of the Atlanta Falcons defensive coordinator pulled, well, it's a great prank, but a lot of consternation now about it. And I get that because, boy, had that been my son, his son saw the phone number for Shedeur Sanders on his open laptop when he went to visit his dad one day, and he copied the number down. Well, he then pulled up what on paper is a pretty damn good prank. I've got to be honest with you. But at the end of the day, boy, if that was my son, whoo, I don't even know where to start. He calls Shedeur, I think it was in the second round, during the second round, pretending to be the GM for the New Orleans Saints. And in essence said, hey, we're going to take you with our next pick. And there was a lot of confusion, as you can imagine, because it was not accurate. But yeah, then that video surfaced. And so that's just, wow, what a horrible look for the coach and all of that. But yeah, that's the NFL draft has come and gone. So Shedeur Sanders slid way, way, way down, and everybody made such a big deal out of it, you know, but nobody was talking about that. Dillon Gabriel, he didn't get taken until the third round. Hell, his team did a lot better. If you look at Shedeur Sanders, I don't know. I started reading a lot, trying to understand, and there was a lot of questions that these guys had placed that on his play. You know, they were like 16 and 15 overall. He didn't win anything. He didn't lead his team anywhere, and he had the Heisman Trophy winner as well. So we'll just see how that works out. But looking forward to talking to Jason Drake. And a lot of additions to Indiana football and basketball as they continue to pile up for the rosters. Go to thehoosier.com and make sure you keep up with everything that's happening, because you're going to need a scorecard. Literally need a scorecard as it continues to add names, slowing down greatly. Indiana still have some spots they have to fill on the basketball side. And I noticed that last year, Indiana, after the spring game, C.J. West, D'Angelo Pons, a couple of names, they came to Indiana after the spring game last year. It's not what a lot of times what people think. On the basketball side, yeah, they think it's time to land a couple of bigs. There's still plenty of time. I don't know who all is in there as far as that goes. Go to thehoosier.com, and they've got a list of people that are being looked at. And to give you an idea. But like I said, those guys, the bigs, man, they're the unicorns. They're the ones that people are after now, that they need, that they have to pay for, in essence. Not going to be cheap, not by a long shot. And Indiana will not have a problem taking care of that, without question. But it's who they land, who they get, and how they manage. How do they work in with the other guys? Because that's got to be the critical part here. Finding a big that will work in the style of play that Darren DeVries is going to be using. It has to be a guy that is elite. It has to be a guy that will work into the style and not stymie what they are trying to do. We've got plenty more coming up to the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios on this Monday. Jason Drake, the transfer from Drexel, and looking forward to getting him on. It's Derby week, and I know that for a large part of the listening audience, that doesn't mean a lot. There's a great deal of you that are down in Southern Indiana area, that even down into Kentucky, that follow us each day. And I know you will be participating in it, but a busy month of May is stuff coming up, like I said, with Indianapolis as well. And looking forward to all of that, that during this month, you've got, it's bookended. The Derby is at the very front of the month of May, May 3rd on this Saturday, first Saturday in May, as always, Indianapolis at the end. So, and a lot going on in between, as we'll be covering it all and coming to Churchill Downs, coming to you from Churchill Downs. We'll do the same from Indianapolis as well when that rolls around. So looking forward to that, as it is just a great sports month for the state of, well, not just the state of Indiana, for this region. And as basketball continues, we've got the All-Star game that, bam, and then June hits, all the All-Star stuff, the Kentucky, Indiana All-Stars hit. And then July rolls in. It's Big Ten football media days happening out in Las Vegas. We'll be out there as well. So looking forward to being able to do all of that and bring it all to you as well. As Indiana football entering year two of the Kurt Cignetti era. And I think, like I've said many, many, many times, I think that they're set up to they're in a better position this year than they were last year. Now, that while I say that they're going to have a better team, I have also said it the whole time that they will may not necessarily have a better record because their schedule has ramped up. But it's going to be interesting to see how it does end up happening. What are your thoughts? Seriously, not as just a super fan, but what are you thinking that it may, the results may be? They've added the pieces they've needed to add in the offseason. And it's just the type of guys that they want to add. The defense has a lot to live up to from last year, as does the offense. But I think that the offense needed a little more boosting than the defense did. But I think that they've done that. They've shored up the offensive line. They have added running backs room. As a matter of fact, I saw that Indiana is just had a visit from a four-star running back that loved his time at Indiana visiting. And those are the kind of guys that Indiana are going to start landing. There's no doubt about that. And that's only going to increase what they do. But you have to. If you're going to compete with Ohio State and all of those guys, which, and I know that it's not really even fair to think of an Indiana or someone like that competing on that level as the Ohio States, because they have advantages that many, many schools like Indiana don't have. The size of their stadiums, the money. Added money that comes in. They make more money. They'll have more NIL money. Their coach has famously said, you know, we've got a $20 million or a $30 million payroll? I don't even remember anymore. Well, now, obviously, that goes way up once the house settlement comes into play. But the bigger point, do you know how many players they had taken in the NFL draft? 14. Indiana had 2. And those 14 players were not down to this. Well, that was at the time I saw it. I don't know if that went up anymore because there were still more rounds to go. But 14 NFL draft picks, not unrestricted free agents or undrafted free agents. I don't know how many more of those they had. A ton, I'm sure. If Indiana had 6, I bet Ohio State had a dozen. But 14 guys drafted. Indiana was playing against Ohio State, against 14 guys that were going to be drafted into the NFL. That's the level you're at. That's what you're competing against. And that is, while Kurt Cignetti has his style, his program that he, and the way he runs it, I guarantee you he is going to continue to try to increase the talent level that runs that. It just probably gets a little more trickier because elite guys are not probably quite as pliable. I don't know if it's not really fair to say per se, but we'll see how it goes. But they are adding, I'm waiting for Indiana to land that first five-star guy. They've never landed a five-star ever in football. And just to break that seal, because when you do that, that tends to lead to a lot of other good things. So as Indiana moves forward and over time increases the talent level, it's not like something they have years to do. They have to kind of start doing this quickly, which success breeds success. Winning breeds winning. The winning will bring in better players. Players want to be a part. When you're winning, and more importantly, putting guys in the NFL, guys want to come there. That's why so many guys want to go to Ohio State or Alabama or Michigan, whatever. They put guys in the league, and that makes a difference. That's where the real money is. It's not in the NIL. Now, the NIL is there for the vast majority of football players because the vast majority are not going to play in the NFL. So NIL remains very important, but it is still not the be-all, end-all at the elite level. You still have to have elite talent. Notre Dame, also a team that generally puts a lot of guys into the NFL. So we'll see how that rolls on. But I expect that Indiana used to put guys in. There are plenty of guys, and that will happen. You had Kurt Cignetti's first season in which he built this program off of a lot of transfers from the mid-major level. But how many of the guys' names that I just talked about? Curtis Rourke, mid-major. CJ West, mid-major. The undrafted free agents, Jalen Walker, James Carpenter, Miles Price, Keyshawn Williams, Zach Horton. Other than Trey Wettig, which I believe is already at Indiana. But those first five guys, I believe they were all mid-major guys. Still got drafted into the NFL, which is great. Now they need to move that up and start pulling in the elite players, like I have mentioned. Comments? Bill says, go to the CFP again this year. The five stars could follow then. Well, no doubt. Winning will breed that. And it is going to take consistency. It's going to take more than a season because a lot of people will look at that as a flash in the pan. And I get that. Why would you not? The Indiana football program was a walking corpse until it wasn't. And now it's not. And there will be no worries about, at least in my mind, there's no worries that Indiana will back up what they did last season. And as long as they stay relatively healthy, which is always the case. But that is not going to be a problem. Like I said, I think they're going to be better. I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait. I'll be honest with you. I'm really looking forward to rosters being set. It's tiring having to chase that stuff. Wonder, oh, who's this and who's that? So we'll keep doing it because that's the deal. And unfortunately, that's how it will be until it's not, until they get some guardrails on slowing this down. That's the thing I hate is just the ability is there to sign multi-year deals with players. Don't worry, but if you're smart, you don't, unless you get a hell of a deal. So, but we'll see that and much, much more. We're going to take a pause for the cause. Back with more from the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Indiana Sports Beat Radio, to the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios on this Monday. Grateful to have you along, but more so to have Jason Drake along, the transfer guard that is committed to Indiana, one of a few guards that they have committed to Indiana. So you know what that offense is going to look like next year. But first of all, Jason, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be with us today.
No problem. Thank you.
I'm sure it's been a whirlwind for you, and I'm glad. I'm sure you're happiest most about getting it done, no matter where you were going to go. Just yeah. to because it's a lot. There's a lot going on.
It's a lot.
Mm-hmm. What when you're going through the process? What is that like? Because I know it's crazy. It's crazier than probably when you were being recruited, because it's all so fast. It has to happen now, and these decisions are coming, and there's so many different people coming at you.
Yeah, I mean, really, just it kind of reminds me of like out of high school again, like getting recruited all over again, and I mean, just getting the constant calls and just hearing from this coach to that coach and different, like, just I mean, it was kind of stressful. It was a stressful kind of because it's my last 2 years, because I have another year, so. It was really hard decision, but Indiana came along really fast, and like they were really serious, and I really enjoyed it. And Bloomington was really enjoyable time there. So
now, since you have 2 years left, and you've just said it was all the stress goes along with that.
Yeah,
does that mean you don't want to have to mess with doing that again next year and just
makes it easier for you? I plan on, because I moved around so many. I've moved around so many times, so like I for sure plan on staying and making Indiana home for sure in my last final 2 years. So,
and there's going to be a lot of new faces that you're going to be meeting with. Of course, everybody's going to have that going through when the team is finally put together. But obviously, from what we're seeing so far, what was it about Coach DeVries that made the difference for you? Because you had options to go to a lot of different places.
I mean, really, he was was just so pretty hands-on, and I liked how he kind of showed me how I was going to be able to fit in on the new team and the new offense, and he gave me a plan, and he gave really just gave me the same kind of confidence that I once had at Drexel, and I feel like I can And really the coaching staff too. Even though we're still trying to figure out the whole coaching staff, I really enjoy. I really enjoy.
It's not you're not alone there, brother. We are too.
Yeah, I mean, I really like the coaching staff, and it was pretty good visit as well. So,
what is it about the offense that you see? Because I don't know yet, but I can kind of get a you know, pretty good indication of what's going to happen next year. And Indiana has been a slower running through the paint kind of an offense in the last few years. And this is not going to be that.
Nah, not at all. it's for sure going to be a fast pace, get up and down and open space and get downhill, get shooters open for sure. Like that's what Coach really loves. He loves shooters. We kind of like just about everybody on the roster can shoot. So it's really
39.6% from beyond the arc last year. That's not too bad, man. It's not too shabby.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is something that I've been working on every day, just about my sophomore year, just every day, just getting up shots and working and trying to be the best shooter I can be and best player overall. So.
Once you made the decision and you got that out of the way, so what have you been able to do between then? Did Coach DeVries give you some suggestions of things like, here's some things you could work on, or we'd like to see you work on, or whatever? Or what have you just done on your own?
I mean, really on my own, just I mean, I really try to work on everything, honestly. Like, I don't really think just because I had a good shooting year, I mean, I still feel like I could have shot a lot better, even though 40% is really elite, but I feel like I honestly could shot a lot better. But like really from overall, like going to the basket stronger with my left and right, and like communicating more, I feel like that's and being more of a vocal leader, I feel like that's something I'm trying to work on, and just like talking during workouts and just being more vocal and energetic. And I just feel like that's something I've been working on in the off season. And
I'm sure you were saving the 40% mark for your next season and the season after that, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to get 40 and above for sure.
Yeah. I'm assuming you'll get to Bloomington in June when most guys get around sometime in June. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so are there any of the guys on the team that you are know have not necessarily relationships with, but either played against, played with, played around, all that?
I'm on social media quite a bit, so I've seen a lot of these guys had quite a good year. But I played against Dor this season twice, and they beat us the first time at Drexel, and he didn't play the second game, so I won't. When I see him, I won't really talk about the second one. I had a pretty good game that game. The second one had 25 that game, and I won't hold his head that much. But I really like Dor game. He was an elite shooter this year, and I remember playing against him. He was a pretty good shooter, and really all around game. So,
and you say you're on social media a lot, which we all are. So that's expected. But these guys, are you excited from what you've seen, the team that is coming together? There's a lot of pieces there already.
I'm just watching that because I do my homework, and I feel like we have a strong core. I feel like we have, from the guard standpoint, we have three good guard standpoints that can do just about everybody's kind of different. We have guys that drive, shoot, just about everything on the wings. They shoot, they dribble, they athletic. It's just a different, like coming from the CAA and going to the Big Ten is a different, and I feel like it's just have more pieces to use, and just guys just can do a lot more. So I feel like it'd be fun.
Speaking of the Big Ten, you mentioned that next year you will be in the Big Ten playing against Tom Izzo and Michigan State and UCLA and USC and Oregon and Michigan and all these teams that you've seen, you've run. Yeah. That's got to be exciting as well, because Big Ten is one of the, if not the toughest, the best conference in college basketball overall.
Yeah, I mean, just growing up in the Midwest and growing up in Michigan, it was always a dream of to play in the Big Ten. That was like,
now, are you a Michigan fan or a Michigan State guy?
Not anymore. I was a Michigan guy, but not anymore. Those days are over now. So,
but yeah, originally from Mark, where is Oak Park?
It's like, I would say like 10-15 minutes from Detroit.
Oh, okay.
So I grew up in Detroit, Metro Detroit area. So just
a lot of hooping going on there, man.
Yeah, we got a lot of guys. I'm not gonna lie.
Michigan's got an Indiana guy now. They've got Dusty May up there who's from Indiana. So it's an even swap.
Yep. Yeah. Back to like growing up in Michigan, like it's been a, like I was always, my dad's a Michigan fan. My whole family, me and my dad really was only Michigan fans at first. And my whole family's a Michigan State fan. So that would be fun.
Have you got him some IU gear yet?
Yeah, we're going to work. Well, when I get back, I'm sure going to hook him up with some IU gear.
But, well, you probably have some NIL, some of your own t-shirts going or something. And he's like, Pops, yo, what? You know, hey, help me out here.
No, we're sure working on that.
I'm sure it's exciting for him, though, to see you playing in the Big Ten as well as it is going to be for you to play in the Big Ten and play against all these teams. And more importantly, Indiana is a program that is traditionally great. They're a great program, always have been, always will be.
Right.
The winning has not been where the fans would like for it to be, where the players would like for it to be, where anybody would like for it to be, because they're better than that. And it's just been a matter of time. To me, it's like they're a sleeping giant, and I think this may be the awakening of that sleeping giant, and I'm sure everyone is hoping that that is the case. But if that is the case and you're a part of that, that's going to be a pretty damn cool thing.
Yeah, I mean, just growing up, my dream of mine is to always play on the highest stage, and Indiana being one of the greatest college basketball programs ever. That's a blessing. So, my goal is for sure to go to the NCAA tournament and compete at the highest level. So, I mean, I just feel like I feel like the pieces that we have, we for sure have a shot and to build something and to bring the Indiana basketball back to how it used to be.
What is it that you like about, and I know that they're not done yet. They've got more pieces to add. Not a ton, but they still have some open scholarships to fill. I'm sure they're going to put another big or two in there. But right now you've got guards and wings, just guys that can move the ball, shoot the ball. You're a defender. Speaking of defenders, yourself and who was there's so many. I can't the guy from Florida. Josh Harris?
Yep.
Boy, I can't believe I pulled that one out. But it's also another good defender, though. But that's part of it. It's not just going to be shooting and all that.
Yeah.
They're great defense, and that's one of your specialties, man. You're a tough player, 6'2", kind of just a get after it kind of a guard.
Yeah. I mean, that's for sure one of the things. I mean, defense wins championships. So, I mean, I just feel like that's going to be one of our core values that coaches talks about, and that's going to be like one of our attitudes of the team, being hard-nosed team, and I feel like I can rub off on other guys if they're not that type of player as well, to be like a hard-nosed guy, like you said, and to get after it and get it by any means, and just do anything to win. So,
I know that Coach DeVries and his staff are very busy right now. Obviously, still trying to put together his staff, the rest of the team, and all of that before you guys arrive in June. Mm-hmm. But what in your conversations? What has he said about what he wants? What the plan? What is the goal for this team right this season?
I mean, the first thing when I seen Coach, like he said, he's trying to win a national championship. So we're putting the stakes high, we're not just trying to get like a 20 win season and have okay start to his legacy at Indiana. He's trying to win it all the first year. So I mean, that's what I like about the coach, and he wants to win. So and. That's what I want to do. I've always been a winner. That's what I want to do. So,
winning's good. Winning's good. Winning works. Winning. I always say winning cures everything, man. Winning cures everything.
That exactly.
You're not lying. And so and basketball, winning basketball in any place is always fun. But there are certain places where it just means more. And Indiana is one of those places. Like I said earlier, they haven't had quite what they had want. The level that they're used to, but the fact that their fan base does not go away no matter what. I'm kind of afraid to see what's going to happen if this revs up and gets back to or even close to the level of what Indiana is accustomed to, because the fan base just might go crazy.
The fan base is they've been showing a lot of love, and just I mean that's the most heartwarming things about it. Like I've been getting texts and just about every day about thank you for coming to IU. And I mean, that's just, I love that type of stuff. Like, I always wanted to go to a school with a great fan base. And like, that's what I play for. Like, the fan base is in my family. So
and I hope that just like with anywhere, just wait till you turn the ball over in a bad situation. No, I'm kidding. I'm just joking, man. Unfortunately, there are
some. That's how it is.
Yeah, hey, it's kind of funny. You're not lying. I get it. People are like, oh, you did this and you did that. I'm like, okay. But no, the fun that this could be as well, yeah. Like I talked about, because Indiana basketball, they've had even some success, but it's not the success level that they are accustomed to. And when that happens or starts to look like it's happening, everything is going to rise. You know, a rising tide raises all ships, and the good play will rub off on each other, on the other players, and the atmosphere. I know you've been on the visit. What was the visit like? So you hadn't been to Assembly Hall before, had you?
No, that was my first time. And
what was that? What was your visit like? Seeing the facilities.
Walking into the gym was like I heard before, but it's a different feeling. Like, you feel the history, and I actually felt it when you just looking up, and I still have the vision of me just walking in. Like, it was amazing. Like, that kind of helped me with my decision, honestly, just walking into the gym, honestly.
Well, that's the effect that building has had.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
In the day, it's had that effect in games. Back in the day, and not that long ago, it was just constant that if a ranked team came to Indiana, they had a slogan, as fans would like to say, "You rank them, we spank them." There was a lot of upsets that would happen. Yeah, like, don't bring a top five team into Assembly Hall, because top five team ain't leaving Assembly Hall. and it's a loud place because of how it's designed as well. And I'm sure you notice the uniqueness of how steep it goes up. Well, that makes it a very, very loud. It's like two theaters facing each other. Yeah. And the noise rains down, and as you'll find out, when you play there this year. But it's just a fun looking place. And your dad, I know, being a basketball fan, he's obviously a big time knowledgeable about Indiana and the Big Ten and all that stuff. What's his thoughts been? What is he thinking about you coming to Indiana?
I mean, he's still like I said, he's still trying to process everything. And I mean, this is probably one of his dreams too. Like, just to see his son to play it on the highest stage on the Big Ten, and like he's been receiving calls, and like he's very proud of me. And I'm very aware of that. And like, that's also who I play for. My dad, like, that's my number one fan. Like, I get kind of emotional talking about my dad because how supportive he is, and the last 20 years, like, he's just been supporting me every day, giving me the confidence that I always need, and being my best friend. So
let's give him a shout out. What's dad's name?
He's Jason Senior. So I'm
that makes it easy, baby. Jason Drake Senior.
Yeah, he's number one. I'm number two.
Perfect. Yeah, that's easy to remember. Yeah. Well, yeah. So I hope he'll and being that you guys are close enough, he'll probably be able to make several games.
He's gonna be there. He's for sure gonna be there. That's my guy. Shout out my
pop. Are you looking forward to most about? I know you arrive in June. What are you looking forward to most? You'll meet the guys for the first time, a lot of some guys that you have talked to on social media, like you said, but some guys that you've never met, and you guys are all going to come together. But what are you looking forward to first and most?
Getting to work, honestly. Just I'm ready to get the workouts going, and we're going to Puerto Rico. I'm ready for that, to go out there and play out there against the teams out there. I'm ready for that, and just really just to build another team, get closer with some other guys. And
when's the trip to Puerto Rico?
I think sometime in August.
Well, that ought to be fun.
Yeah.
Don't take Bob. Bob Knight is no longer with us, but you know, he got arrested in Puerto Rico. He allegedly hit a police officer who was trying to stop them from practicing. They were having practice or something, and this guy was I think he was kind of a dingbat, but ended up being an altercation, and Bob Knight had some words. And so Bob Knight was a big boy. He was 6'6". He was a big man. But funny thing is, though, he took his team on one trip like that, and it was in the late 80s, just out of the mid-80s. They were coming off of a season that things hadn't gone that well.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but he felt that they needed this trip. And they went to, like, China and all kinds of stuff. But that team ended up winning a national championship.
Wow.
Just to put that in perspective for you. Now that you mention all that, I'm just putting all that together. But, yeah, that team would come together and win the 87 national championship.
Oh, wow. I mean, yeah, I mean, I feel like stuff like that and just, like, going to bring guys together, like, closer and just bonding with each other. I feel like that's, like, number one thing, honestly, because we all can play. So, I just feel like that's the number one thing, to try to get everybody on the same page and to so we can win. Because I feel like,
and you know, we hear about in today's age with all this change, you got in the transfer portal most of all, different faces. Every season you're going to see different faces.
Right.
But how hard is it really when you come together this June? All of you guys are going to come together for the first time ever on this team. But how hard is it to get together before November when the games start? You guys have all played. You're all experienced players. Most of you are going to be like juniors and seniors. Mm-hmm. But so how hard is it to really get that team together?
I mean, it's extremely hard. I mean, it really is, because, like, I had to deal with the same thing this year. But it's extremely hard. It's about the guys just being on the same page and kind of all having the same goal. And I mean, I feel like that's coaches. That's what coach told me. We have guys that's selfless and guys that's just willing to win and do anything to willing to win. So I mean, I feel like it's extremely hard, but it's doable, because that's the new thing now. Everybody going from different school to this school, and so it's for sure doable.
No doubt at all. What is the hardest part about that? When you bring in all these new faces, you're on a new team, and having had experience doing it, does that help you do this again?
Yeah, I mean, the experience for sure helps, because College, basketball is basketball. Everybody's been playing for so long. So, but the experience for sure helps. But really just trying to understand everybody else's game, that's probably the hardest. And, like, trying to see who gels with who, and, like, that's probably the hardest. And what personality works with this personality. That is very hard to do it in nine months. So.
Well, you certainly get it done, man, and I look forward to it. I look forward to seeing you and hopefully talking to you again, but I cannot thank you enough. Thank Pops, JD. We'll call him JD number one.
Yeah, thank my guy, JD number one. That's my guy. Shout out, JD number one.
Jason Drake Sr., man, we appreciate him, and tell him I said hello. I look forward to meeting him. But thank you so very much, man. We appreciate you. Looking forward to having you in Bloomington, brother.
No problem. Thank you. Appreciate you for having me.
You betcha. Jason Drake joining us here, Indiana basketball. Man, finally got that going there. Sorry about that. I'm glad that we were able to delay that a little bit to get it going. But Jason Drake joining us on Indiana Sports Beat Radio. And, man, what a fun conversation that was. You can tell he's fairly relaxed. it just, yeah, it was, you can tell he's ready. And he's known as a scrappy guard, a defender. He's 6'2". He's going to play some defense, man. And just listening to all the things that he had to say, it's going to be fun to watch this team come together. And it's going to be fun to watch them because I know that they may not have connections to Indiana. They didn't grow up. I mean, Jason, obviously, grew up a Michigan fan. But that's changing. That's changed. And now he is going to want to be a part of trying to re-galvanize the Indiana basketball program. And I think virtually all of the guys that are going to be on that roster are going to be of that same mindset. I really do. And that is going to be a just such a huge departure. Not that people didn't want to win before, but there is a difference when you're truly committed to something and not yourself. But I look forward to seeing that. So, but can't wait, man. Grateful for Jason taking time to join us. Trying to get some more guys on as well this week. It looks like Connor Enright will join us on Friday. Lamar Wilkerson, we're working on maybe getting him tomorrow, but working hard to keep it going. Sorry that it took us a while to get that going. I don't know what in the world happened there, but grateful that it got done. And fun day. Big thanks to Greg Rakestraw, Dustin DePirik, and, of course, Jason Drake. Most importantly, thanks to each and every one of you. Without you, we've got no reason to be here. We're back tomorrow to do it again. Until then, I'm Jim Coyle. I will see you on the radio.
Thanks for listening to Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page for more clips and team coverage of Indiana basketball, football, and more. You can also find full episodes and tons of other content on thehoosier.com. We'll see you next time for another edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio.
Hello, everyone. Jim Coyle from Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our content. We hope you enjoy it. Make sure you're a subscriber at either your favorite podcast download or on our YouTube channel at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Either way, just give us a like on any of those. We would greatly appreciate it. It helps us immensely. Thank you and have a great day.